From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. Scammers are targeting Juneau homeowners as they deal with property damage from August's record glacial outburst flood. At least one person in the Marion Drive neighborhood along the Mendenhall River lost more than $50,000 after paying fraudulent bills sent by someone posing as a local contractor. KTOO's Anna Canny has more.
Marion Drive resident Dave McKenna didn't fall for the scam, but he said it was convincing at first. McKenna hired a local contractor to rebuild eroded land and armor the riverbank on his property. He received a fake bill for the work, stamped with the contractor's logo and address.
Just enough detail for things to be really plausible, so none of it was really raising super red flags.
The timing and the amount of money requested closely matched the real work being done on his property. But what ultimately tipped McKenna off was the language of the email. McKenna is a personal friend of the local contractor, and he said the message just didn't sound right.
He's always been kind of a man of few words, and when we finally got a request for payment from the imposter, we realized that, you know, that's a really wordy message.
McKenna called the contractor, who said he hadn't sent out any invoices yet. After that, McKenna alerted his neighborhood. According to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, these kinds of scams are more common after disasters, as bad actors impersonate contractors, building inspectors, or state and federal agents offering aid. And that's been true after the flood. The Juneau Police Department confirmed to KTOO that it's received several reports of fake invoices that were sent to homeowners dealing with the flood. At least one resident on Marion Drive lost more than $50,000 to the scammers. That person did not want their name published and did not want to be quoted. But they shared emails and receipts with KTOO that show they made three separate payments via wire transfer, one to an out-of-state bank and two to a local Wells Fargo account under the name J&J Ventures. Lieutenant Craig Campbell with the Juneau Police Department confirmed that there is at least one open investigation into flood repair scams. He said that impersonation and phishing scams generally have one thing in common.
People want you to make quick decisions, so they have like a sense of urgency on it.
And according to the Federal Trade Commission, payment requests via wire transfer can also be a giveaway for scam activity. Lieutenant Campbell declined to share details on the local investigation, but he said people who suspect scam activity should call the Juneau Police Department. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Wild king salmon stocks are in decline all over the North Pacific Ocean and Alaska. Some regions outside of Alaska attempt to conserve the fish by limiting sport fishermen to hatchery-only kings. That type of fishery is being studied as a possibility for Southeast Alaska. But as Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, the idea is receiving a chilly reception so far.
British Columbia, Washington, and Oregon use what's called mark selective sport fishing to help conserve wild king salmon. Anglers can only keep hatchery kings that have their fins clipped, a marking practice that's done at hatcheries before the juvenile fish are released.
It's really about trying to vet another approach.
Judy Lum is the state supervisor for sport fishing in Southeast Alaska.
And so it was like, okay, well, they do it down here. Can it work for us? And if it can work for us, in what situations, what conditions, or can it be broad brush, or does it have to be very specific?
Could it be region-wide or just in specific areas? Lum stresses that they are only studying the possibilities. They don't know if a marked selective fishery would help or hinder king salmon stocks, or whether the benefits outweigh any potential costs.
We have all these tools in our toolbox, so to speak, for management, and this would be just one additional tool to the toolbox.
The question originated within the Pacific Salmon Commission. The commission is a regulatory group of U.S. and Canadian governments overseeing that salmon management is fair in both countries. Alaskans involved with the commission asked the state's Department of Fish and Game to consider the potential for a mark selective fishery in Southeast. The department contracted with the University of Washington to do the study using grant money. But so far, Alaskans haven't been receptive to the idea. The state has held community engagement meetings in Juneau, Ketchikan, Klawak, and Sitka, and Lum says they've heard a lot of concerns. Derek Anderson attended the meeting in Klawak.
A lot of people are upset.
He and his wife own a fishing lodge in Craig on Prince of Wales Island. He says the meeting was standing room only and full of emotion. Subsistence, commercial, and sport users came together.
The main voice was no. This is not a good program for Southeast Alaska in any way, shape, or form.
Anderson says they'd rather keep things the way they are and fish by harvest limits, which recently has been a few fish per day for residents and 2 to 3 fish per season for non-residents. He says targeting just hatchery kings would hurt more fish.
There's just not enough hatchery fish in our waters to make that whole thing viable. If you're out there having to fish for hours on end to look for a hatchery fish and you're turning back wild fish after wild fish after wild fish, a lot of those fish end up dying.
Fishermen in Sitka felt the same. Roughly 3 dozen people participated in the community meeting, including 74-year-old Eric Jordan. He's a lifelong troller and says everyone was cordial, but no one wanted the program.
I think there was a lot of skepticism in the audience that this would be a good way to go here.
Jordan is a self-described conservationist and has participated in fish policy for decades, from local fish advisory councils to the State Board of Fish. He says for the program to work, it would have to address the harm of catch and release.
In the salt waters of Southeast Alaska, you're going to need to change the rules to minimize mortality.
How many kings in Southeast are wild or hatchery varies by location. It's complicated because most of the kings originate in non-Alaska areas, both wild and hatchery stocks, and not all hatchery fish are marked. And there isn't hard data that the program is working elsewhere. Marked selective fisheries have been ongoing for about 20 years in some locations in Washington. But has it really been successful? The jury is still out. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Escaping the threat of last week's pending government shutdown, Katmai National Park and Preserve's Fat Bear Week is here. KDLL's Hunter Morrison has more.
12 chunky bears are competing bracket style this week for the adoration of online fans and animal enthusiasts around the world. Put on in part by Explore.org, Fat Bear Week will showcase a range of both male and female bears of varying ages. From its humble beginnings in 2014, the celebration brings attention to Katmai's brown bear population via livestream cameras around the park. Viewers can watch the bears play, eat, and put on pounds.
Of course, it's all about celebrating the success of brown bears at Brooks River in Katmai National Park.
That's Mike Fitz, resident naturalist with Explore.org, which helps run the event.
Each bear in Fat Bear Week is an individual that with a unique story to tell about life and survival. It's also a way for us to celebrate the salmon that support the health and richness of Katmai's ecosystems.
One of the bears competing this year is Chunk, a large and independent adult male whose behavior is enigmatic for a bear of his size. In the past, he was known for playing with other bears and waiting patiently for his serving of salmon. This year, though, he is using his large size to establish dominance among the others. Then there's Grazer, one of the most protective mother bears in the park. Although she did not raise a litter this spring, she has put her defensive energy into accumulating fat on her body. There's also fan favorite and 4-time Fat Bear Week champion, Otis. One of the oldest bears identified at Brooks River Falls, he started the summer looking extremely skinny.
He has gotten quite fat since the end of July until now. He's done really well for himself over the past couple of months. So despite the difficulties and rigors of old age, you know, he still has the knowledge and the skills and the patience to find success.
While the fat bears are the stars of the event, they shouldn't get all of the credit. Katmai's sockeye salmon, which have the healthiest and largest runs in the world, are the unsung heroes of Fat Bear Week. Fitz says that without the returning salmon to Brooks River Falls, there would be no Fat Bear Week.
I think a lot of people, especially people who are outside of Alaska, like they've heard of bears and they know that bears like to eat, but maybe a lot of people haven't considered why bears eat so much. So this is to help raise awareness for their behavior, their biology, and also more importantly, to celebrate the health of Katmai's ecosystem.
In the future, park rangers and organizers of Fat Bear Week hope to highlight more of Katmai National Park's bear population. They are always looking for new and diverse brown bear stories to tell that will resonate with the world.
Fat Bear Week really isn't about who can win the tournament itself. It's again about showcasing the stories of those bears.
Online voting for the Fat Bear Week competition began Wednesday morning. The winner will be crowned October 10th. You can vote at explore.org. In Kenai, I'm Hunter Morrison.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 49 degrees and cloudy. More rain is expected later this week. This is KTOO.